This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hello and welcome back to Betch Lab. I'm Jordana.
I'm Samantha.
And we are here.
Here we are.
Wherever you go.
Here we are.
Where
should we start?
I don't know. It's been like kind of a boring week, but let's start with, I guess in the world of reality television anyway. Let's start with the Men Tell All.
What other world is there?
the real world, as we'll get to as well, sadly. Mm. So the Men Tell All, I'm going to be honest. I didn't exactly watch it because the season is already so boring and the Men Tell All is always the most boring part of the season. So I figured I would like try to save myself, but I know you watched it. So I heard some things. I've heard some things. Tell me about the most. Tell me about like the top two most interesting things that happen.
Well, first of all, I'm really jealous that you didn't watch it because I also
it's 2 hours of your life that you
That I could have saved, but I watched it this morning. Actually, I couldn't even bring myself to watch it last night. What were two things that were the most exciting? Okay, like Lee, there was probably like a 10-minute discussion about how Lee is a racist, and they're basically just being like, admit you're racist, like say you're sorry. And honestly, like
sorry for being racist?
Admit that he's racist and that he said racist things and that he's sorry for saying them and that.
But they showed his tweets. Were the tweets really racist? What were they?
Yeah, but those tweets were not like today. Those tweets were like before this tell all. One of them was like, you're telling me like the NAACP isn't racist and the KKK is, at least one of them shows their racist faces, or at least one of them like doesn't hide their racist faces. I don't know. It was whatever.
I feel like
it
the KKK racist. Covers their faces.
It is, but it was like
weird analogy. Lee.
It was like at least one like hides their racism. I don't remember exactly, but it was racist. Definitely racist. And then there were two others that like didn't stick with me as much because the KKK one was like super over the line. The other two were just like regular over the line. So they basically were like, and he kept being like, I'm sorry. And they made like, honestly, it got like a little political. They were making these points like, you don't even realize you're racist because like you're so racist. Like that's how racist you are, that like your racism is invisible to you, which is like kind of true, I think, of a lot of people.
I think, a lot. I mean, everyone, I think, within their own bubble has, like, the benchmarks for, like, what is racist, what is not racist. Like, I think everyone has their own, like, every community that you live in has its own standards for what crosses the line. So, like, I understand that
maybe
that
nothing crosses the line.
Right, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure there are definitely communities where nothing crosses the line. But it's kind of funny how that you're definitely shaped by, like, the community you live in and what you think is like offensive. He probably doesn't even think he's being offensive
because
the people he's around don't think that. But like it's weird because like if you grew, I think we've talked about this before, it's like if you grew up in a different time, if you grew up like different things were considered crazy to say that are not crazy to say that are now totally crazy to say, like no one would ever say that and expect to be like not considered extremely like racist or homophobic or sexist or like any of those things. It's like your whole like what's inappropriate and what's appropriate is so hugely shaped by like the time and place which you're saying those racist things.
Well, I think he grew up in a place where there was like very little lines that you could cross, or at least it was like you don't cross that line publicly.
Right.
And but I don't know, he is crossing that line publicly, so obviously he thinks it's not that bad because at first he was like defending it, but then I think he was defending himself like prior to the tell-all, and then at the tell-all he was very like, I'm sorry, I did things wrong. And they kept trying to be like, what did you do wrong? Tell us what you did wrong. Like they were pushing him and like it was deserved. But yeah, it was just like a 10-minute
I think I read something
drag
about
through
this,
the mud.
Where it's basically
Which,
I mean, in very clear Bachelor style, they didn't really like foster any sort of like interesting discussion about the thing. They were just more interested in like in playing up the tension.
They touched on the interesting things, but it was only because the contestants themselves
were
black had interesting things to say.
Not Chris Harrison, I'm sure was not trying to touch on shit.
Yeah, no, he was like he was more like, I saw that you tweeted this. Your tweet was appalling. Right. It's like, it's not about the tweet. It's about the fact that, like, you bring on the first black bachelorette, and you barely even talk about race.
Right.
You kind of pretend like she's white. She even actually made a joke, by the way, at the tell-all. She was like, you know, I'm black, by the way. Like, did you guys know? Like, she made that joke about herself.
Yeah, they were just trying to, like, keep saying she was black without really discussing, like, any sort of nuances or anything. Which, I get, okay, the Bachelor audience does not appreciate nuance. Likes to have their villains, likes to have their, like, heroes. Right. They don't want to, like, see, like, the interesting, like, ways in which, like, race might play a part in this or have any discussions about that. I kind of get it. They know their audience. Their audience isn't interested in that. So they're not going to push that. Right. And Chris, it's funny because I think it was this Jezebel article. It was basically talking about, like, how, like, a good host, like, asks the right questions, doesn't necessarily take a side, but, like, and then knows the correct follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. And Chris Harrison was, like, not giving the right follow-up questions. He was only asking the questions, like, to instigate, but not really to, like, get at the heart of actually what was going on.
Exactly. I mean, this is, like, you know, I complain about The Bachelor, like, every day, how much I hate it. And, like, I would say this is the core reason why I hate it. Because it's, like, you have something that could, like, be so, like, deep or interesting, or, like, there's something, like, potentially interesting about it.
Right.
And they just spoon feed shit. Like,
because that's what, I guess that's what America wants.
Right. It is what America wants, but, like, yeah, okay, it lacks any depth. That's why I hate the show. Because it's, like, you literally just, like, literally, it's like, it's just feeding a child, like, candy. It's, like, gross. It's stupid. It doesn't have any value. There's no value.
It lacks
no
any self-awareness.
Yeah.
Which is why,
I hate it so much.
I know you don't watch, like, any of the MTV reality shows. I'm sure you're familiar with The Real World.
But I have watched Are You the One. I watched the first season. I liked that.
Right. Are You the One, and more so the more recent, I think they're discontinuing The Real World, or at least changing it a lot. They've, like, and what they've changed about it, which I've noticed because I've been watching for many years. I'm sorry. This makes me look very pathetic. Is that they make the character, they used to, the whole premise of reality TV shows, the premise is you don't talk about the fact that you're on a reality show. You act as if you are not on a reality show, but you are.
Well, that's why we like Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
Because they admit that they're like.
Right. Well, Bachelor in Paradise does that more, which is why it's like more enjoyable to watch. And also, like, in The Real World, they were like, there was this one scene where they had people like. They were like they kind of were in the bathroom, so they didn't see them. They were like being filmed, but they thought they weren't being filmed, or you could hear them, but you couldn't see them.
Yeah.
And they were like freaking out about like what was going to be on camera, or things, saying things and like saying, like, basically just acknowledging the fact that the cameras were there.
Right.
Which as a viewer is like kind of refreshing. I get that it takes you out of that, like, oh, this is like really happening thing, but like.
But you already know that.
Right. And for things like The Real World, where there's not like, it's not like the same characters on multiple seasons, like, you can have that. I get how, like, in Vanderpump Rules, if they were like acknowledging that they were being filmed, it would take away from the long-term success of the show. But something like The Real World, where the cast changes, it's like, okay, and it's also their first time, so they're not like prepped enough as you would be on season 5 of a reality show to be like, I know what I'm doing, what's going to get me screen time, what's not. If you're, like, acknowledging the cameras, that's, like, I feel like a very interesting and, like, cool thing to see.
Yeah, I feel like I would probably like the MTV genre of reality more than The Bachelor because I would
like that. It's trashier, but at least it's, like, real.
Right. I don't watch it, but not because, like, I dislike it. I just, like, I'm not, like, Bravo is my channel, you know, so.
Right. You know I don't like Bravo that much.
I know.
I find
it's because it's, like, the trashy versus, like, the fake classy.
But it's
people.
Also, yeah, it's also, I feel like, just, like, this, like, realm where, like, tacky wealth is just, like, displayed on, like, to, like, an excess and sort of, like, what's the word?
Ooh.
What's the word for, like, glorified?
Gosh.
It's, like, glorified. Oh. It's, like, this, like, tacky, wealthy thing where they're, like, talking about the price tags of everything and, like, trying to, like, pretend that those with more money are, like, living superior lives. It, like, glorifies that lifestyle, and I think it's, like, a little gross.
Meanwhile, half of them are bankrupt or get divorced or, like,
because people with real money do not want to be on reality TV.
Speaking of reality Bravo stars, I went to the Jill Zarin Lux Lunch this weekend.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
And so
everything it appeared to be on Instagram?
Honestly, no. So there were a few things that were surprising about it. One, I saw a ton of housewives. Our book was in the gift bag, by the way, guys. You should buy our book in paperback. It's an amazing beach read. I Had a Nice Time in Other Lies.
How to Find Love and Shit Like That.
Yeah. So that book was in Jill Zarin's Luxe Lunch gift bag, which was like a pretty solid gift bag. Lots of products and like all, you know, the kind of stuff that It's nice. The gift bag, the bag itself was also like really good. But more importantly, saw like all these housewives and two things that were like unexpected about it. One is that Jill Zarin's husband is like actually really sick with thyroid cancer, and it is a charity event for thyroid cancer. So there was like actually a more heartfelt aspect of it than I would have expected.
What are
like,
the lunches usually for?
They've been for thyroid cancer because he's had it for a while.
Okay.
So that was very like heartfelt because he's like very sick. Like he couldn't be there. He was like, Jill was making a speech and he was like on FaceTime. And like you could see that there was like something like deeper there, like a lot of friends who really cared about them. So that was like what I thought was like actually kind of refreshing about it, was that like it wasn't just this like tacky event for like sponsors or whatever. There was right. like you could see that there was like emotion behind it and people were like supporting her. Second thing was that like a bunch of housewives were there. Luann was there. No Tom. Ramona was with a new boyfriend who she was like canoodling with. And Ramona and Luann, like they were all besties and friendly with each other.
Did they film this for the show? I don't watch
I didn't see any cameras. So, okay. I mean, they might have been, but like I didn't see a camera crew.
Right.
Either way, Jill's not on it.
Oh, right.
Okay. There was no Bethany. No, and there were a ton of other housewives from like other seasons that like I don't care about. But yeah. Ramona was the most exciting, and Luann. You don't give a shit. You don't watch it.
I don't watch. I watched season one, actually, so I remember Jill Zarin. I watched like the first like three or four episodes of season one. I know a little bit what you're talking about, but not enough for me to want to continue this conversation.
Right. You don't even know about who Tom is and like
I don't
why.
Even know what I don't even know.
Yeah, okay, forget it.
But let's talk about some like the real things that are scandalous that are going on in the real, real world.
Yeah.
Like the Scaramucci. It's donezo.
The Mooch.
The Mooch is gone. I loved Mooch. Everything about him.
Me too.
Actually.
He was just
besides
so
like
prime.
Who he was as a person, but like otherwise I loved like
the character.
The character, yeah.
He was
I wish he sounded more like a like character on The Sopranos, personally.
Yeah, like his accent.
Yeah, I feel like his accent was like sort of normal. I wish it were like
because it was
insane.
New York, not New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's over now. Maybe
it's really sad.
I wonder did they replace him yet?
No.
What was his job exactly?
He didn't even start. His start date was supposed to be August 15th. This was, I guess, his like pre.
This is orientation.
This is like his orientation.
This is like getting like expelled from school orientation week. It's
yeah,
like he couldn't even fucking make it to the first day of school.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason that he wasn't starting yet,
he drank
was because
too much
he was,
jungle juice.
Yeah,
at the frat parties,
and he started like. Spewing stuff. Yeah, so he was like waiting for his like company to get like approved because he like some ethical, you know, not ethical stuff or whatever. That's why he couldn't start. So he was just starting without like technically starting. So like he probably didn't even get paid for like all those days.
Yeah.
Also his wife divorced him, 9 months pregnant, and she walked out on him.
Because he supported
because
Trump?
Because of this. Yeah, she hates Trump.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah.
Mrs. Scaramucci.
Call us Mrs.
If you want to get on the podcast, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, seriously. We know you're busy with your baby.
Mrs.
Like,
Mooch.
Mrs. Mooch. Also, it's like your
Lady Mooch.
Madame Mooch. Yes. It's like a Harry Potter character, I think. But
this whole
way.
Thing is like some fucking crazy, like, Voldemort cabinet kind of situation. It's
okay, like,
crazy.
Also, he fired his like, main guy, Ryan Priebus.
Yeah, who like, also sounds like a villain in Harry Potter.
He sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
Or an actual, because Harry Potter villains are, like, I feel like more, like, exaggerated.
Yeah.
Even, like, he sounds like that, like, just, like, terrifying.
Yeah, well, I think he was kind of, like, a regular guy. Like, he was, like,
How do you say his first name?
Reince?
That sounds like...
How do you think he made it through elementary school?
It sounds like a Nazi to me.
Yeah. No, that'd be Reince? He's Reince. But, yeah, he got fired, too.
So who's replacing him?
This general.
Oh, right. He wanted a general.
A very legit general. So, like, he's basically, like, all the people he, like, hired are, like, all these generals, and he's going to have, like, a military coup, and, like, next week he'll be General Trump.
Oh, my God. What a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
What a mess.
What a mess.
You know,
gotta
some
move.
People just don't know how to run an office. Unlike us.
Unlike us, a very successful business.
Exactly. Should we do some Dear Betches?
Yeah.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Okay, I'll read the first one. Dear Betch, first of all, love the podcast. Love that I love the podcast. You're great and I admire you all so much. Thank you.
Yay.
I just started working at my job about 2 months ago. It's a small office, just the CEO and myself, with the other affiliates of the company working remotely from other locations. This is my first quote-unquote big girl job after graduating college and traveling for a year, so I was really excited to get the job. The problem is the CEO is a total bully. He's constantly blaming others, mostly me, for his mistakes and does not communicate what he wants, rather expects me to read his mind and gets really angry when I don't do it right. He's continuously tells me things he doesn't like about my appearance, like that he notices every time I break out or there's anything amiss with my makeup. It's fucked up. And is constantly telling me how much I don't know about everything. When I do try to speak my mind about things I understand fully, he calls me a know-it-all and doesn't allow me to have a validated opinion. In addition, when I tried to bring up how important mental health was to me, trying to hint that he is the source of my daily crippling anxiety, he called it bullshit and accused me of using mental health as an excuse to get a free day off. I work really hard and I'm good at my job, but this is getting to be way too much to handle. Normally, I would go to HR to file a complaint, but I am the head of HR, in addition to everything else I do for the company. So that's out.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how to handle the situation without jeopardizing my professional advancement. I want to stay professional, but I feel like that line has been crossed already and I'm over it. Every time I try to bring up his behavior, he twists it into something that is my fault. What should I do? Should I stick it out for longer or call it 2 months too long? P.S. The woman who had my job before left after less than a year under less than transparent circumstances. Should have seen the red flag there. Please help. Sincerely, bullied Betch.
Is this a note from Donald Trump's
staff? That Mrs. Scared. Yeah. Is this
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Is this Kellyanne Conway?
Oh my gosh.
Dear Kellyanne.
Dear Kellyanne, you should probably quit. Like,
okay, so Sammy is our representative HR rep.
Yeah.
She actually does HR and majored in industrial and labor relations at the Ivy League university in which we attended.
Yes, we did. You should def quit. Like, if the company has some money, maybe hire a lawyer and try to, like, get some damages for sexual harassment. Right. It sounds small and, like, that's kind of pointless. I would just, like, leave because he sounds like he's emotionally abusing you. And now you've, like, there's nothing that, like, you're going to do with someone like that. Someone like that is, like, beyond help. They need to seriously work out their own shit. Like, they need to go to therapy.
Is it, like, against, like, the law, like, about workplace HR law to, like, critique someone's appearance?
I'm sure that you could, yeah, it's, like, sexual. You could say that it's sexual harassment. I don't know if you'd win. Because, like,
if it's just makeup,
it honestly depends, like, what the words were, and, like,
you should just write it down anyway.
Yeah, write it down, but, like, more importantly, just, like, leave this job. Like, it's like it's really
right,
not
because
good.
There's no one higher up that you can go than the CEO, and this is clearly, like, an indication of how he runs his business.
Yeah. Also, you're not going to advance professionally in this job. Like, you're the head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where are you going to go? Like, you're not going
to
become the CEO.
I think her fear is that, like, it looks bad to have, like, you're working somewhere less than 2 months on your resume.
It doesn't look great, but I also, this is your first job out of college. Too, so I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, when you're looking for another job, saying to your employer, I wouldn't quit before finding a new job. That's probably not the best idea. But while you're looking, which, like, you definitely should be actively looking, you should say that, like, just tell the employer, like, about your situation. I don't think they're gonna, like, hold that against you.
I think it's probably a case of, like, she's so excited. She's hired right out of college as the head of HR, right?
Yeah.
She's, like, so excited. And then, like, realizing, like, oh, I'm the head of HR because
no one else wants to be
because there's a fucking mess.
That's what it was like when Scaramucci started.
Exactly.
Although he would have seen.
Scaramucci was probably like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
he's
like, I'm going to report directly to Trump.
Trying to say this with a more, like, thick accent as we would imagine he would have, but he doesn't. So,
right.
It'd be funnier than, like, our jappy voices to, like,
apparently he has his own emoji, which is, like, the kissy emoji, like, because he goes like this, like, mwah.
Like, bada bing.
Yeah, like, at the end. The end of his press conferences, which I guess he's not holding anymore. Okay.
What's he going to do now, you think?
Well, he was trying to sell his company. I don't know if it actually got sold. But, like, if I were him, I would just take, like, a really long vacation.
And,
like,
think about all the actions that led me to where I am today.
Yeah, yeah. Be like, why did I take this job? Why did I, like, get myself into this, like, really bad PR
How
mistake?
Did I wind up here?
Why is my wife divorcing me? Okay, so basically, bullied Betch, you should probably look for a new job ASAP and, like, think of, chalk this up to experience.
Right. You're young. You don't have that much to lose by leaving. Find a new job with a try to get to talk to the upper management before you take a job.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it doesn't look bad to like interview and tell the people that you're interviewing with why you need to leave.
And what you're looking for in your next job, which sounds like a more
stable environment.
Stable environment. Yeah. Stable boss.
Non-emotionally abusive. Okay. Should I do the next one?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Betches, love the Instagram, love the podcast, love the brand. You guys crack me up and make my commute way better. Thank you.
Welcome.
This is our favorite part, as we say every time. My husband.
But you don't have to do it.
No.
But like,
you should.
You should.
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Just do it. I mean, don't. Whatever.
You don't have to. Sorry, you don't need. My husband and I are late 20s, still. My husband and I are in our late 20s, still getting used to saying husband, married 2 months strong. It's a long time. Met in college and share a lot of the same friends from college. When we started dating, I matched with his friend group, which consisted a lot of awesome couples. My question is around one of our best couple friends who just celebrated their 1 year of marriage. They've been dating for almost 8 years and appear to be the seriously perfect couple. I'm serious. Like, they have a good home with a pool. Oh, a home with a pool. Ocean water view. Oh, pool and an ocean water? Who
sounds
are
like
you?
A fun couple.
Sounds like someone's dad has some money. Black lab, decorated out of an effing magazine. They are attractive as hell, generous, super fun to hang out with. Love having them as friends. Blah, blah, blah. They are great people. Her husband has been best friends with my husband since elementary school. Best friends. He spoke at our wedding. On the other hand, her and I are close, but not close enough to where I feel like I can be my complete self around her. She is so poised, so put together. She is the kind of person that can party and have fun, but won't share dirty details. Just very private. Not that she's hiding anything, just more private. We usually talk about easy things, never really deep. I love her, but she's not one of my main betches. This is all background to get to this. Her husband is shady as hell, and our entire friend group thinks he is cheating on her, and I feel like nothing is being done about it. I knew that this is where it was going when she was talking about how perfect the girl is.
You're such a good trend forecaster.
I knew. I was like, the girl's perfect. I was like, there's a big problem. Okay. Her husband is shady as hell, and our entire friend group thinks he's cheating on her, blah, blah. This has been going on for a while, but now that they are married, it's new level shit. Vows in a house with a black lab level shit. Yeah, that's going to be a custody battle. I could list off a bunch of examples of things I've heard from credible sources, but there's too much. The thing is, I don't know if his wife knows these things and just wants to continue to live this perfect life. She's not stupid. Or if he just hasn't done anything she's heard of that she considers bad. I've never wanted to say anything to her. One, because we aren't super close. And two, because I've never been a witness, just heard rumors. Well, that changed recently. Ooh, the plot thickens. When I went out with my husband and his friends dancing, she was invited out, but I was too tired. I shotgun a beer and rallied. Wow, your late 20s shotgunning a beer. And rallied.
Married life sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know. We got to be friends with these married people.
Right.
And I shotgunned a beer and rallied and proceeded to witness her husband dance with a girl all night. She was dancing on him the way I was dancing with my husband. My husband had a boner.
I did for that.
Yeah. Good job. I didn't know what to do. Everyone was just having fun and I felt bad for what I saw, and I still feel bad. He also disappeared at the end of the night for a half hour. We had to keep calling him and it was frustrating. Shady, right? If my husband was acting that way when I wasn't around, I'd want to know. I'd want her to tell me, and I feel like I should tell her. I asked my husband about it and he gets super weird talking about his friend for some reason. He's confronted his friend before, but her husband has blown it off, saying things like, oh, it's not a big deal, just avoiding it. Now it seems like my husband just has the mentality of, I try. I don't want to create drama. I don't want to lose this friend. They are great together. Okay. I feel like I need to say something, but I also don't want to be the person stirring the pot or putting my nose into their business. I really don't want to ruin the friendship we have with them by being the person to confront this bullshit. But she is my friend and she is a beautiful person inside and out and doesn't deserve to be treated this way. Wish we could meet up and talk about this over a bottle of wine. I think our friend group could be a reality TV show, actually. Sounds like maybe, honestly. Mm-hmm. More crazy drama happened at our wedding that I can't even get into, but you guys would go freaking nuts. Sorry, I'm done. Need your help. Thank you. Sincerely, wish we were talking about this over a bottle of wine.
That is a doozy.
Whoa, that was weird.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. This one is actually a little tricky,
it is.
I think. I think not your place.
Agreed. You don't want to...
Because you don't know anything for sure. You saw him dancing with someone. And you know what? Maybe she knows that he does that kind of shit. It doesn't seem like he's hiding it or going to great efforts to hide it from, like, his friends or her friends. So, like, maybe she's kind of aware of that. And, like, she doesn't care or, like, doesn't care enough to, like, do anything.
See, for me, the answer, and I think ultimately I'm going to say the same thing as you, that it's just she should just not do it. the red flag was when she was talking about in the beginning, like how perfect she was and how just like you're not that close with her. It's like
she's very private. She's very private because she doesn't like to talk about anything negative about herself. Right. But she knows that her marriage isn't perfect. But right. She doesn't want to share that with you.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was thinking. Like, she's not going to be vulnerable with anyone. And that's why she's able to even be in a marriage that's like this.
Right.
Because she isn't willing to, like, I don't know, go that deep into feelings or something, or like into realness, that like you're willing to like confront the fact that your husband is maybe not loyal to you.
Yeah. And I just feel like if you guys don't have like an intimate relationship where you're friends and you can say, which doesn't sound like you do, she's not going to want to discuss this with you, whether it's something good or something bad, or she's not going to want to hear this from you.
Right.
What I would do if you're really concerned and you really get upsets you on a level is just try to talk to your husband again, because like he's the one who has the intimate friendship here. He's the one who like could somehow get involved. If anyone's going to do it, it would be him.
Right.
And maybe he's not going to tell
his best friend's wife.
No, but maybe he can talk to his, maybe he can talk to his best friend about it. Tell him it bothers his wife. She kind of is wondering what's going on. There's a lot of rumors about what he's doing.
Right.
Maybe he wants to either stop doing that if his wife doesn't know about
it. Doubt
it. Maybe
he's not going to stop this guy. You can like already tell.
Right. Or maybe he wants to be a little more discreet so as to not make everyone uncomfortable, because everyone is friends in the same circle with his wife. So like even if he doesn't stop it, and it's like more rude to you that it's happening. I think to me that seems like the biggest deal, is that like you feel really uncomfortable, and this girl who's writing in feels really uncomfortable because she like sees this girl and she speaks to her a lot and she feels weird about knowing this thing which she doesn't think she knows. So if she wants to talk to her husband, just tell him how you feel in that way, and just tell him that you feel weird like that he does these things in front of you.
Yeah. And you also don't want to talk to the girl because it's going to screw up your own situation.
Right.
Like you don't
She might not want you around.
Yeah, you don't want
he
your
He definitely
husband.
Won't want you around.
Yeah, you don't want your you don't want to do things that's going like for her benefit that's going to come at your expense, which is like
you don't have the moral obligation here. You're not like her good friend, and you didn't see anything explicitly like whatever, just things that you think are a little inappropriate.
Which are inappropriate.
Right. If it was like, if she was like your best friend, I would say, yeah, you should tell her. If you had an intimate friendship with her and like you suspected that she had no idea about anything going on, or even if you didn't and you just thought, hey, this is what I saw, I just want to let you know, whatever. You're not on that level. You don't have any obligation to her. Sammy's right. Like if you said something to her, it would just like fuck your situation up.
Yeah. Also, like if you're, I would wait also because it doesn't seem like you're kind of at an impasse. Like at no point until like you see something or hear something new and like you have it confirmed or like you've seen it with your own eyes, do you have like a justification for like bringing this up at any given point? Like it's sort of like, why would you just bring this up now? Like it's just going to, you're just going to like say like, okay, Tuesday, August 1st, like here I am. I'm going to tell her. Like it's not like there was new information. So maybe like as of now, you're not going to do anything, but see what happens. See if he like, if he actually is like making out with another girl in front of you, maybe you are in a different place.
I would still discuss that with like your husband. Because again, it's like his friend, it's their shit. It's not really any of your business.
Well, I was saying is that she should wait till she sees something happen to bring up to her husband again. There's no point in like trying to convince your husband like more
again,
based on nothing new.
Maybe your friend already, or your sort of friend already knows this and like is dealing it within her own way. And if she doesn't want to deal with it, that's definitely not on you either.
Yeah. Based on like also the things you said, I would not be surprised if she already knew.
I always find it surprising when people have no idea that there's like shadiness or infidelity or anything.
Right. Like you never saw one hint.
Right. Like I think it's, if your marriage is solid enough, one, that stuff doesn't happen. And two, like, there's not, like, multiple whispering situations about that. And three, if there is, like, you have some idea about it, and if it bothers you, you say something.
Yeah. It's true. So, to you, from this girl who has a really long name in her signature, just don't say anything to anyone. And if anything happens again that you are, like, 100% sure about, you've seen it, you have proof, then you
can
bring it up with your
husband.
And if
she asks you, sure. Say something. If she ever says to you, hey, you ever see anything weird with my husband going on when I'm not there?
That's never going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Guarantee you she'll never ask if she did,
by all means.
What's most likely going to happen, if I could predict the future, is that they're going to like continue being married for like a few more years. They'll have kids and maybe he'll be like, okay. But then I think probably not so long into the kids having phase, she will maybe come to her senses and be like, I don't want to be married to this cheater. Mm-hmm. She'll leave him. And then
it sounds like she has like a nice little thing going on other than this. And she might be choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, she's choosing to ignore it until she's ready. Most people who are private,
who are super private and don't want to share anything, also like don't want to get too close, don't want to discuss. They like the image that they are giving mm-hmm. off and they don't want to.
Yeah.
Why do you think Beyonce doesn't speak to anyone?
Yeah, she's not ready to give up her perfect life yet. She needs to get to a point where she's so miserable internally. She might never get there, yeah. But if she does decide that this is like not good, it'll be after she comes internally to a point that it's like intolerable for her. And after that, she probably still will act like her life is perfect, even when they're getting a divorce.
Right.
So
again, though, not your problem. Yeah. I would stay out of it. If you can.
Let's play some games.
Okay, the first one is from Megan,
our reader. Our listener. By the way, anyone who wants a Dear Betch question answered or to submit a game for us, please email us at slapped@betches.com.
Yes, and we will answer if it is the appropriate length and peppered with compliments.
Yes.
Just kidding. But like sort of not.
But really.
Okay, this is from Megan. Would you rather spend every night in your bed for the rest of your life or have to move every 3 months for the rest of your life?
It's like really hard. You can never go on vacation. Or you have to move all the time.
Right. Moving is like terrible.
I know. This sounds like hell.
Both options sound like really shitty.
I mean, on a regular basis, you'd probably be happier sleeping in your bed. But
it's like, would you rather be like kind of annoyed like every like 3 months, have like two annoying days where you're just like really irritated, or have like but also be able to like have more adventures, or have every night be like kind of okay?
Well, no, because some nights you're like thrilled to be in your bed, but it's like you never have anything. Like that's all you'll ever have.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think I would move every 3 months.
I think I would too, because I'm just not ready to accept the fact that I'm never going to go away again. Maybe if I was like 50, I'd be like, you know what? I've been around the world. I've seen some things.
Yeah.
I'm ready to stay in bed every night.
Right. Yeah.
Does this mean you can go out and you have to just go back to your bed? You can go out.
But how do you go on vacation if you have to sleep?
Right. So it's
in
like
bed,
saying no more vacations ever, or you have to move every 3 months. Yeah. Or you can go on a day trip.
Yeah. But like, you have to be back.
I think I would pick moving too. Although also sounds fucking miserable. Then you have to move every. What if you're like
moving's the
70
worst.
Or 80?
Do you have to do the whole process of the moving, like the leasing and the forms
that
and all
make
that?
A difference, yeah.
Like then you're
or you
always,
do you just physically have to keep unpacking
your shit? So basically, do you want to be like constantly moving all the time, like that you barely get any days that you're not in a process of moving, or never ever go on a vacation or like on a sleepover even?
I don't even know. I'd have to make my home like a vacation. I was going to pick the form.
Oh, I would just only vacation then, maybe. Like maybe.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's just you just live everywhere for 3 months.
Like maybe it would be better to just move every 3 months than like we'd have less
stuff. Yeah, you'd have less shit, fewer better things.
Yeah, it would be more minimalist.
You know, you're right.
I think we'd be happier.
I agree. Let's move every 3 months. We'd learn to consolidate our shit and then get rid of everything we didn't need.
Yeah, also because traveling makes people happier.
Yeah. Fuck that.
And also,
let's move.
Also, if you're moving, you could avoid the moving maybe by just traveling.
Yeah, you could just consider yourself like some sort of like
wanderlust,
untamed wanderlust
blogger.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Yeah,
sounds great. Good one. That was a good one, Megan.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Okay, would you rather date a guy who speaks to his mom once every 3 years, like Dean, or no, Dean's mom died. Sorry, that was his dad. Oh, that was so mean of me. Or a guy who speaks to his mom every day and sits on her lap at all family functions. Probably every 3 years. No, definitely every 3 years. Because, look, like, if you don't speak to your mom that much, like, it means that you had, like, some stuff to deal with. And, like, I can handle that.
You'd rather them be, like, fighting than too close.
Not even fighting. They just don't speak. I'd rather them not speak.
They don't have a good relationship, I think, if you speak to your mom every 3 years.
Okay, well, if they only speak, then you only have to deal with it every 3 years when they fight. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, as long as he's, like, fine otherwise. But, like, I don't know. I would feel very uncomfortable.
With your husband sitting on his mom's,
my mom's lap.
His mom's lap.
That would be uncomfortable.
That would be a lot.
Yeah.
Ugh. I kind of agree.
Yeah, no.
What if it was just every day?
If it was just every day, then definitely every day.
What if it was like four times a day? Every day.
Do they, how long do they speak for? One text exchange or like?
It's like one 20-minute phone call at night and then 3 5-minute phone calls during the day. But he has to talk to her before he goes to sleep.
I don't know. Like,
is that worse or better than like sitting on her lap at a family function?
I honestly think sitting on the lap is like the worst.
It's really creepy.
Because it's physical. Like, it's gross. I don't know. Like, I think it's like good to have like a good relationship with the mom. But like then it manifests in other areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Problems. But also not speaking to your mom will have its set of problems. So it's like, which one do you want?
I think the 3 years. I'd rather less involvement.
That's
more.
True.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what she's going to say 4 times a day.
Yeah. It's like a lot. Like, yeah. I don't need him speaking to anyone that much.
Yeah.
Not even me.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need five.
I don't need a total of 35 minutes a day phone call every single day.
Yeah, no, that's absurd.
Okay, so I think we're both picking
3 years. I can handle your issues from your estranged mother. Like, I can fully just deal with that. But your really
we'll get over
overbearing
it.
Mother, I don't know.
It's fair.
We'll see. Okay. You.
Okay, shoot, fuck, marry. Sean Spicer, the mooch. And Mitch McConnell.
Oh my God. Probably. Oh my God. That's so hard. That's so hard. I truly don't know. I feel like I would.
I think I'd have sex with the mooch.
Me
he's
too.
He's kind of cute.
Me too. He's the most attractive.
And he's definitely fiery.
I feel like I would marry.
Although he's not going to suck his own cock like.
Oh, was it? Steve Bannon sucks
like
his
Steve
own
Bannon.
Cock.
Well, so don't expect anything like that in bed.
Yeah. He will not be saving you from giving him a blowjob. Yeah.
I would have sex with him. I think I'd marry Sean Spicer because he's just probably easily manipulated.
And he's like,
be like
funny.
She'd be like, Sean, it's fucking raining out. And
right.
He'd be like, no, it's not, but you could probably convince him.
Yeah, I've also read that like he was a normal person before this.
Maybe there's hope for him yet. Mitch McConnell's just like a bad man, so we're gonna kill him.
Bad old. Just get out.
Just not
just
good.
Leave.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are out of time. This was so fun. We'll see you next week on Bachelapped.
Me with Jared Freed as our guest.
Sammy and Jared Freed. We'll see you next week. All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye.